the story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all. The story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect.
Well, I'm cutting the intro. We're going to get right into it, man. The Blue Shirts and the Capitals in session, and this is a really intense first half of the first period, Glenn. What's up, Glenn? How you doing? I'm very exhausted, but let's get this talk in. How's everything, bro?
Yeah, I mean, everything's okay. Just kind of watching along as you are. Not really happy about what I'm seeing so far. You know, I feel like I've noticed a couple of trends over the last couple of games. One is that they had a little trouble scoring in the last two games, although Dostal was really good in the Anaheim game, and Bob was usual Bob in the Florida game. But I think the Caps certainly have had the better of the play here. As I'm looking, the shots are 11-2 in favor of the Caps. Score is 3-1. I'm seeing some of these goals in the last two or three games where they're not paying as much attention to defense as I'd like to see. A couple of times when guys are getting behind them, behind the defense, and being allowed to kind of, hang around in front and either look for tips or rebounds. I know the one goal against, I think it was the Verhage goal, the second goal against Florida. We had both defensemen in the corner, and Verhage or Reinhart, whichever it was, standing right out in front for the puck to come out and tip it in. So, still October, so you don't worry. But I'm seeing some things that are concerning me if they become a trend.
Well, you said a lot already. Jeez.
I got right into it.
Speaking of that Florida game, I mean, that is pretty much the concern since last week. They haven't really improved upon beating that particular team, and that is a concern, right? So Florida, now wasn't necessarily heavy with the forecheck last Thursday night, but the Rangers just couldn't get anything going offensively, carried over into the Anaheim game, where they didn't really do anything scoring-wise until late in the third period. You could say they didn't give up any goals against per se. You only gave up one against Anaheim. But as of right now, versus the Capitals, Ovechkin already got two. He's already trying to break the record against the Rangers in one game. And then you saw the big fight with Dylan McArath, former Ranger that we had back in, 2010, and Rimpy battling out. But what I did not know or realize is that they were doing this or fighting back in the AHL days. I did not know that. So they had a little bit of a history. But as far as right now in this current game as this session, live looking versus the Capitals, not a post game, but a live looking versus the Capitals, down 3-1. And like you said, thoroughly outshot. And at one player, I do want to give credit over the last week is Will Cooley. I definitely like what he's been doing thus far this season. If you want to deep dive into him real quick.
Hey, that third line has played really well, and I'll play Scott here for a minute. It seems like Hedl and Cooley are even making that bum Kako look good. he's racked up some points too. So I think that third line is really solid. And they should be. You look at the different things that each of those players bring to the table. And, you got Cooley, who's kind of an energy guy, a guy who is not afraid to, go into the corners. But he's also got, an offensive touch, too, which he's been showing. Hedl, we know what he can do. We kind of keep waiting for him to kind of blossom. And, for the most part, in this first month, I guess first we're just thankful that he's still healthy. But I think he's shown some of the things that he can do. And Kako, again, he's a big body, a guy who can control puck possession. So, you put all those things together on one line, and that line should be good. I'd like to go around, maybe I'll do that between now and next week, is kind of go look at the third lines on every team around the league. But I would say that the Ranger third line is probably in the top five in the league as far as most effective third line. So, when you add that in with what they've got on the first two lines and the fourth line and the goaltending, let's not forget that Jonathan Quick had to be fantastic the other night against Anaheim. Otherwise, they might not have come away with that victory. But yeah, getting back to that third line, I think that's a very good line. You look at the components on it, and it should be good. So I'm glad we're getting out of it what we expect to.
The concern was, or I brought up to the topic, when the Rangers were scoring a lot of goals, four-plus goals during the stretch, I said it has to come down. Now that it's come down a little bit, I hope it's no concern for the Blue Shirts per se. You might be right about the third line as far as comparing to other third lines around the league. That probably is the case. I'd rather probably go back in a couple of weeks, later into November, when I have time to dig deeper into that. I probably could make that comparison, and also it'll give me more of a sample size to make that comparison if the third line of our squad could keep that up. But as far as the Blue Shirts, I mean, going back to the Florida game, right? And I think there's obvious issues with the skating still, and it wasn't necessarily against their normal aggressive forecheck. Florida, you know, to their credit, they've had certain teams' numbers. Our team, to an extent, Carolina to an extent, and as well as definitely Boston. Ever since Boston had the President's Trophy season a couple of seasons ago, they've been having their number, the Boston Bruins. So when I speak from a Florida Panther perspective, it feels as if they got this thing rolling right now. No matter how many guys get injured or move on to different teams, their system under Paul Maurice is one. I put it like this. Let me say it like this. It's not even just about the Blue Shirts. I'm saying more, who or how are other teams in the East going to figure out Florida? I mean, no matter how we spin it from a Blue Shirts perspective, the same question could be said for Washington, who actually looked strong to start their season in the East, the Devils, Boston, of course, Carolina, and us. How do these teams figure it out against Florida?
Yeah, well, you know, while I was watching that game the other night, I was wondering whether I was watching a rerun of the playoffs last year or an actual game from this year. You look at that Florida team, and they lost some guys, but you can't tell. I mean, they look the same as they did last spring and you know, all of last year as well. And, you know, you can see that the Rangers still have a ways to go to be able to truly compete with Florida. You know, I mean, they, you know, right away it was 2-0 in the first couple of minutes of the game. You know, they jumped on them. And then, you know, again, it was just the Rangers really couldn't get any outgoing as the game went on. It just got harder and harder to get through the neutral zone. It got harder and harder to maintain offensive zone time. You know, I mean, Florida just looks like the team to beat again. And they haven't changed a bit. So you go back, like you said, with Paul Maurice, and the system that they run, and they've obviously been able to backfill guys to fill the roles of players who've left and, you know, just play the exact same grinding way. They look no different. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a real challenge for, you know, a lot of the better teams in the conference and especially the teams in their division. I mean, how does a team like Toronto deal with them? You know, they don't have the weapons, I don't think, to counteract what Florida does. Boston, again, I think they've taken a step back. So, you know, I mean, I know they got some guys that can grind and hit and play tough, but I don't know if Boston can match them either. Tampa, you know, we'll see. Tampa could be a little bit of a wild card. You know, they might wind up being better than we expect. You know, they backfilled Stamkos with, help me, Steve, the guy from Pittsburgh, Gensel, and you know, I think Tampa might be a little wild card in that division. So those will be a couple of things to look at. But I'm glad that the Rangers and some of these other teams have another 5 months to try to figure out Florida. I would have hoped that, you know, over the summer, we would have figured out some things to do, but it didn't look much different than it did last May and June when we played them. And, you know, again, I think they're going to be the team to beat in the conference. It certainly looks that way in the early going. And, you know, teams are going to have a handful playing them every night for sure.
Well, for the Blue Shirts perspective, I do think there's a lot more positives than negatives. The positives from an offensive perspective with the Blue Shirts, Panarin definitely still seems like his 2023-24 version of himself. He's still scoring, contributing with the points, yeah. Whether it's goals and assists. Hopefully he can, you know, definitely keep that up. I did thought he did overplayed his hand, but I also thought he, you know, his best season basically as in his career was last year, and him duplicating it looked like he's sort of on track towards that. But even further than that, looking at the team as a whole beyond Panarin, it is well balanced scoring through this point in the season thus far. Still got a lot of games to go. I mean, when you're talking about Lafreniere, we got to talk about his contract at Spencer, by his way, on that. But Trocheck, will Cooley score tonight? So that's another point. So it'll go up to what? 8 points on for him this season. It is really balanced scoring across the board. So to me, they're providing it's an equal threat across the board. And then Panarin's pretty much your playmaker. I like that from what I've seen. And the matter of fact, is Zibanejad especially, you know, I think he can still get it going. I think people still want to see him score more goals, of course. But Lafreniere, Trocheck, Will Cooley in particular, because he brings the hits to the table as well. He's a very physical forward as well. The balance scoring is it for me as of right now this season, beyond whatever Panarin does. What are your thoughts?
Oh, for sure, Steve. I mean, don't get me wrong. When I say Florida's a team to beat, I don't think that the Rangers can't beat them or that they're not right behind them. I mean, the Rangers have tremendous depth. I mean, they've got guys, you know, sitting that could be playing on other teams. So, you know, there's no doubt to me that the depth on this team is terrific. And actually, I mean, they're probably better than they were last year in some incremental ways, like a Cooley, like having Hedl. Hopefully he stays healthy. And most of the guys that you do depend on, like Kreider, Panarin, Vinny Trocheck, Fox, I mean, those guys are what they've always been in the early going here. So I haven't seen any fall off in their play. So, you know, in a way you can make a case. And Riley Smith, I mean, Riley Smith is probably better fit on the first line than, you know, all the Blake Wheelers and everybody else that they kept trying up there and seeing if anything stuck last season. So, you know, you can make a case that this team, the Ranger team, is even better than they were last year, you know, in some incremental way. And, you know, I think the depth is probably something that, you know, a lot of other teams in the league would envy. You know, and again, you know, just mentioning about the third line, you know, when you go around the league, a lot of third lines are pretty fluid. You know, guys are moving up and down and back in and out of the lineup and everything on that third line. But I mean, I think this Ranger third line is going to be, you know, is going to stick for the whole season. So, you know, that's another reason, you know, to think that, you know, if we went around and compare around the league, they'd probably be a top five third line in the league. So, no, I definitely think that the Rangers, you know, can get out of the conference as well as Florida. And, you know, they're probably the one and two top teams probably to get out of the conference when we get to the end of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, all I'm saying is they're kind of on par with what they were last year. I think they're about the same, if not slightly better. And I'll put the slightly better because most of the guys on the roster are still in their prime. If Zibanejad could definitely turn it around, they'll definitely be a lot better offensively. And then you look at Riley Smith and then pretty much substituting or taking on the behalf of Blake Wheeler from last year. So I think the Blue Shirts probably are a little bit better. Shesterkin's off to a better start than he was last year. Uh-huh. And Jonathan Quick in the game versus Anaheim. You know, just doing what they got to do. I will say also other teams to watch out for. It seems like, well, Jersey played a lot of games this year. They played probably about 3-4 more games than everybody else. So I can't really say they're the best team currently when you play. You actually have more games on your schedule, so you're going to have more point opportunities. So it's kind of hard to say that per se. I would probably still think it's Rangers, Carolina, Jersey. But Jersey is a wild card because I think they're going to be a lot better because of the injury situation they had last year and then 2 years ago, that big 46-point turnaround that they had. But outside of that, the only thing in the East, when you look at both divisions, Boston is kind of tailing off. Like, they're not the same. When guys retire, Pierre Bergeron retires, and the way they went out two seasons ago and then last year losing out. I mean, you go, every team in every sport, as you already know, Glenn, you've been watching this sport more than me, more than longer than I have. Every team has a window. The Rangers are currently in that window. You have to capitalize, and I think Boston had that window. And is it possible that they may not make the playoffs, the Boston Bruins? I mean, I know I don't want to bounce around the rest of the league on the live looking versus the Capitals. I may want to talk about the Capitals as well, but give me your quick thoughts on Boston. And matter of fact, give me your thoughts on Boston and Washington, what you saw out of them thus far this season. Washington is actually having a good start this season, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, those two teams, I think I missed if you guys spoke about the forecast about the Atlantic Conference. I think Boston over the last couple of years has taken a bunch of steps back. Bergeron retiring, Krejci going back to Europe. Now they've split up the goalie tandem that worked so well for them with Ullmark being in Ottawa now. You saw last week there seemed to be some people out there trying to work up some issues between Montgomery, the coach, and Marchand with a little incident on the bench. I don't think Marchand is as good as he was. I mean, I think some of those early years where he played rough, where he was a little dirty, where he did some of the, I don't think he's, I mean, he was a 100-point player, and I don't think he is that anymore. You've got guys like Charlie Coyle playing on the second line where they really should be a third. They should really be a third line guy. And you got Pastrnak, who's still one of the better players in the league. But, I mean, I feel like he's kind of out there, a little bit by himself. So I would not be surprised at all to see the Bruins not make the playoffs. And that'll be, like you say, that'll be a sign of the window closing on that particular group. And, they may have to start over again. And again, like I've said to you guys, I think last week or the week before, when we saw that the contract that Swayman got, he still hasn't proven to me that he can carry a starting goalie's workload. So let's see how he does. Let's see what's going on in Boston in February and March when he's playing two out of every three games or three out of every four games, and they don't have Ullmark to give him a breather. I think Boston is very much in question as far as making the playoffs. Now, Washington, on the other hand, I think they actually improved themselves. I think their goaltending is better with Thompson and with Lindgren. I think that Ovi, we're seeing tonight, he's got a couple of goals, but I got a feel that now that he's within 30-something goals of breaking the record, that he's going to be a little rejuvenated. It seems like Tom Wilson has gotten off to a very good start. I've always kind of liked Dylan Strome as a playmaking center. So I think Washington has improved themselves, and I think they could sneak in again in the playoffs. I think they're in that mix with teams like, the Islanders and maybe Philly, although I got a feeling Philly's going to take a step back too, just my gut. Detroit, I'm not so sure about. So there's a bunch of teams after you get through the top five or six teams in the conference that I think are all going to kind of be in the same pool. But I think Washington is a little bit ahead above some of those teams and probably can find a way. Dubois, too. If they can find a way to get him going. They couldn't in L.A. and they couldn't in Winnipeg. But if they can get him going in Washington, I think he's a real good player, too. So. I think Washington could wind up sneaking in again in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of fared well through the first seven or eight games without the heavy scoring from their all-time leading scorer in the NHL, Alex Ovechkin, who did score two goals through this first period thus far. So
yep.
I don't want to jump the gun on that. But as far as the season, I mean, there's been contributions, Dylan Strome and Luke DeBoer, like you say, and Michael, these guys have played well, and Alex Ovechkin still got a 30-goal season in him, so that's going to come for them. So they have a lot to look up for. Now, and as far as what you were saying, as far as Boston fading into oblivion, it's like what other team takes their place? Is it to me, is it Detroit? Is it a team like Montreal or Ottawa? Or are they dark horses? Ottawa has some nice wins this season thus far, but I don't know if I'm ready to jump the gun with them. But I think Detroit, by default, has to be them. I think it has to be them. And I think they will come around. I think they will come around. If a team like Boston, Jim Montgomery's team, if they don't, you know, they've been losing traction because they've had their window. And then when teams leave that window, other teams come through that window. And I've seen like a team like Detroit has a mix of old veterans, Wiley veterans, and up-and-coming stars to take that place. And they've been overdue for some time now. I mean, this has been we talked about Detroit years ago. I mean, not years ago, last year. And you were saying how they were bad for so many years until the late 80s, and they really thrived in the 90s and the early 2000s. I think this is their time again, you know, as far as them. Now, my last point, and then we'll go on and get some final thoughts on this. But as far as the blue shirts, you know, it's just Shesterkin and his contract, or, you know, not getting his contract, or waiting what type of max deal is not really making the case right now, given big goals, not only to Washington early on in this game. How you make that case right now when you're really looking at it, from that perspective, but also going back to what we were saying about in the Florida game, if Bobrovsky, who got his 400th win against us, is coming off a Stanley Cup win, how can Shesterkin and his agent sell a max deal of highest paid goalie on the roster? Or how can you sell that and you can't win the big games? See, how do you make the mends of that?
Well, you sound like you work for Chris Drury, because if you can say that, hey, look, every time you play Bobrovsky, you can't beat him. So how are you saying that you should be making more money than he is?
Exactly.
So, it's kind of a long season. A week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago when we were on, we were saying that Eagle looks like he's going to be able to ask for more than $12 million because he was playing so well the first few games. So, I mean, it's a long stuff. What the hell is P.K. Subban wearing? Holy cow. Anyway, sorry, I got distracted there. But Shesterkin, it's a long season. I'm sure his number is going to come out where they need to. Again, like I said, you know, if he wants $12 million, I mean, Bob signed that contract for $10 million a year 5 years ago. So, you know, to say $2 million more 5 years later, I don't think that's that much of a stretch, really, unless you want to compare it to, you know, most of the other top goalies in the league are you know, signing for eight. Sorokin and Swayman and Ottinger and Dallas all signed for eight point something. I think, you know, when push comes to shove at the end of the season, Igor is going to be the kind of guy who's going to have a good salary push to get him to the end of the year. And I think the Rangers are going to have to give him, you know, what he wants. You can't, we talk about the Stanley Cup window. The window was only open for so long. You can't let a guy like that walk away right in the middle of your window and take a chance that you pick the right goalie who has a great year or a career year and get you to the Stanley Cup. Yeah, I know it's happened, but, you know, which one? Who's the one you pick? It's too easy to pick a goalie and say, oh, he's been really good, he's been solid, he's been this and he's been that, and then, you know, he has a terrible season, and then your season goes down the drain again. So I don't think they can afford to let him go. I'll just move on real quick because I think you had mentioned Lafreniere's contract as well. I'm really happy that they got him signed. I'm really happy they got him signed. I don't think that contract is out of whack, especially when you look at some of the other contracts on the Rangers and, you know, the age and everything else. I think that contract, when we get 3 or 4 years down the road, is going to look like a bargain, because I really feel like this kid is playing with so much confidence and showing the talents that a lot of people knew he had when he was drafted. So I'm glad they got that done. That came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting that at all. But it was very welcome news as far as I was concerned, and I'm glad that's one thing that we won't have to worry about for the next 7 years. And I think it's a fair contract, both for him and for the team. So good for him.
Hear that? I second those sentiments. I think the next time we'll pull up next Tuesday, I think we should be able to do that. That would be 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. No game next Tuesday. So we got, I think Columbus is in there. I don't remember the schedule right off here. Columbus, Nashville, I don't remember the order, but it will be in between games next Tuesday. We'll pull up for a full episode at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Who else is in that? Do we play Montreal? I think Montreal is the next game after this. I think that's who it is.
Us playing the Islanders. The Islanders Sunday the 3rd, and then the Sabres on Thursday the 7th. We got a 3-day window in where we'll be on. And then we're going to have Winnipeg the following Tuesday. So we're going to have another dilemma of doing an in-game or something the following Tuesday the 12th.
The Tuesday the 12th will be no problem. Yeah. I have no problem with that. It's next Tuesday. It's coming up. We have no game. I'm wrong. So it's the Buffalo and Ottawa. Okay, that's what it was. All right.
Yep.
All right, final thoughts from you, Glenn.
Ottawa's
thank you for quick jumping in. Final thoughts from you, Glenn, as far as, anything you want to say with the Blue Shirts or around the rest of the NHL? Because the formula what we're trying to adapt is, because we're all not as young as you. RP and I, we're old guys, right? Very old fogies. 7 p.m. games, no problem. 7 p.m. games, no problem with a post game, right? But if it's like 7:30, like this tonight game or on national television, got to do a live work game. We're going to move into going live. We're going to have fun with us. Final thoughts from you, Glenn?
Yeah, no. I mean, I want to see them wake up a little bit. I mean, it was not a very good first period. As far as I'm concerned, they hung in there and I don't want to say we're lucky to win that Anaheim game, but when you're playing a team that's not as good as you are, and you let them hang in there, one goal behind, anything can happen. And I was really disappointed with the Florida game. So, I mean, it hasn't been, from my standpoint, a real good week for the Rangers. I mean, they got they got the 2 points with Anaheim, thankfully, but I really want to see them wake up a little bit. I'm a little worried that they're getting into a little bit of a malaise defensively and the lack of scoring as well. So hopefully we'll see them come out and be a different team in the second period and for the rest of the week until we speak again.
Sounds like a plan, Glenn. Thank you very much. The Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud and Live Looking versus the Capitals, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. I'm very tired. About to go back to sleep. Sangres, ladies and gentlemen, bleed blue.
You got a baseball game to watch.
that series is over, dude. It's a matter of do they get swept? Do they lose in six? Do they lose in five? Do they lose in seven? Now, that's
the
Las Vegas bet.
You're a fan.
They're done.
You're a fan. You got to go down with the ship.
It's halfway to the bottom of the bank at this point. I'm surprised,
and I really thought for some reason, just in my gut, I really thought Judge was going to wake up and have a big series, and it hasn't happened.
It's disappointing, man. All right, Sangre,
all right, buddy, you got to look forward to. All right, take care, Steve.
That's a whole other story for tomorrow when we talk with those guys tomorrow.
All right,
take care. Bye.
Good night.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.